New Scottish Hymns and Wake Up My Soul from Psalm 103. Now, this is a very special day this Saturday because we're in conversation with both Robert Todd and Fergus Buchan. And now to welcome Fergus Buchan to the microphone. Hello, Fergus.
Good morning, Rob.
It's a great pleasure to have you and have this opportunity to talk with you. First off, you are a golfer through and through with golf in your blood.
Yes.
What would you say to folks like me who find the game of golf rather baffling and therefore don't always have so much time for it?
Well, I would say, Rob, the most important thing is for the Saturday morning golfer or the Wednesday afternoon golfer is to enjoy yourself. It's one of the most frustrating games, I think, that anybody could ever play, and you never get on top of it. So go out and enjoy the good weather, go and enjoy the greens and look at the views. And if you do have a good round, well, thank you, Lord, for that.
How did you come to take up golf?
Rob, I started caddying for my father when we were growing up in Central Africa in a place called Zambia. Used to be called Northern Rhodesia. And I was caddying for Dad, and then one day I think one of his partners didn't pitch up, and he said, son, would you like to play with me? And, from that day I never looked back.
Okay. I understand that you use your passion for golf very much to communicate the gospel. So how do you go about doing that?
You know, Rob, a lot of professional golfers contact me for prayer. People think professional golf is a big glamorous sport, but it's just a lot of hard work, just like Robert Todd does on his farm. It's hotels, it's airports, and it's golf courses. And there's a lot of distractions out there. And a lot of young men come to me and ask me for prayer because I was a European tour player, played in South Africa, coached in Bavaria. I've been through it, but now, of course, I preach the gospel full-time. But it opens the door for me, being a professional sportsman. I can speak on their level and the challenges that come to marriages and all sorts of things that come to the pro golfers on tour. And it's a chance to pray into them. And a lot of young pros now, I'm very pleased to say, are really strong Christians now, Rob.
Well, that's good. And because they've actually had contact with yourself or indeed other like-minded golfers who are believers as well.
Yeah. You know, I had a very good friend, Gavin Levinson, also a European Tour player in Johannesburg. And Gavin won our South African Open and our PGA. And I used to go and practice before I came over to England at his golf school. And you know, Rob, I never got a chance to finish my practice round because he'd come across and say, Fergus, there's a young pro here just starting off, he needs some prayer, or he's hurt his arm. And I would never be able to. Eventually I said to him, hey, listen, I've come here to practice, not to preach. He says, no, you came to preach, not practice. So we used to have sometimes 10, 15 young golf professionals standing on the tee box, arms around each other, and just praying over them.
That's amazing. I think I'd love to be there to have seen the effect that prayer would have had on these players. Now, I know that you had some very pivotal moments in your life, and actually I saw one of them portrayed last Saturday, in fact, when I went to see a film called Faith Like Potatoes.
Yeah.
And and during the film, listeners, two sons and a father go off on a tractor, and there's an accident, and one of them sons falls beneath the tractor and is killed as a result. And that was your son.
It was, Rob. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to bear in my life, and my wife Joanne. We have four children, Rob. My eldest son, Fraser Buchan, is a pastor. He's a co-visionary of mine. I've got twin daughters, Kirsty and Sheena. And, of course, Alistair Copeland Buchan was our baby. And that fateful day, 1988, the 6th of April, I will never forget it. That I didn't know Jesus then, listeners, folks. And last night, I've got two nights of ministry with Robert here at Blackaby Site. And last night, I testified about what Jesus did for Joanne and I on that day, because, you know, life is but a vapor, the Lord says, and I was a high-flying, pretty professional golfer, making a lot of money. Life was a ball, life was a gas, but I didn't know Jesus. And we were all playing cricket outside my brother's house, and my little boy came running up to me and said, "Daddy, can I go for a ride with Uncle Angus on this tractor?" And he never came back. I was the last one to see him on the operating table in a little town called Greytown. And I put my hand through his hair, and I didn't know Jesus, you see, and Angus had just been a Christian for, a month. And we couldn't console each other. We didn't know what to do. My wife was just broken, as you can imagine.
I can only imagine. That's all I can do. It's
that day I met Jesus, Rob, and my life turned around. And from that day, I've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of my life. And He restored our family. That we're all serving the Lord. We're all saved. My son, as I said, is a pastor, co-visionary of mine. Angus is Angus. And the Lord has just restored us and put us back on track. So the whole message for last night at the ministry meeting that we had, and we've got one tonight again if anybody's in the area. I'm not trying to pump it or blow it up, but come and listen. I just shared that you can be in the deepest, darkest hole of your life, but nothing is impossible for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and now you also, I heard or read about an interview you had had with the Joy magazine.
Yes.
And you mentioned about healing from a malignant melanoma,
yes.
Which also shaped your life. Could you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Rob, it's amazing. I got a very good contract to be the head pro at a club in Bavaria and to play the senior tour in Germany. So we went across. We thought it was time to have a break from South Africa and just start afresh again. And after a couple of years, I was a serving Christian, reborn Christian. So what I'm going to say to you fellow Christians out there, the devil's going to come against you, no matter what. Yes, I was reborn, spirit-filled. And a little pimple grew out the back of my leg, and my wife, Joanne, is an ex-nurse. And she said, "I don't like the look of that thing." And cut a long story short, I went to my local doctor, and he took it out, and he said, "I don't think it's anything to worry about." And he phoned me 4 days later. He said, "You better get in here very quickly." And I went in, and he said, "You have a melanoma." Well, I said, "What's a melanoma?" And because I come from my roots are northeast of Scotland, where you don't see the sun, I used to be blonde and blue-eyed, and the sun in Africa got me. And I said, "Well, what do we do?" Put me in touch with some top oncologists. And one of my clients, in fact, is number three in the world. He's an oncologist for colon cancer, a Torolf Hager. And Torolf said, "Fergus, I know your German's very good, but I want to sit in the meeting." So I said, "Yeah." So they discussed everything, Rob, and when he came out the door, Rob, Torolf looked at me and Joanne, and he said, I don't think you've got 8 months to live, Fergus, so you better go home and get your house in order." Wow, I'll tell you. That really put us into a turmoil. We went to Jesus again. And the thing I cried out to the Lord, I was in hospital for 7 weeks. I said, "Lord Jesus, I haven't even had a chance to serve you, and I always wanted to go back and serve you full time." And I made a covenant with the Lord. I said, "If you heal me, I promise you, I'll resign my position." I was making an absolute fortune in Germany, playing super golf. And doctors came in eventually, and to cut a long story short, started me on chemo, started me on this, and eventually I went to the book of James, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I went to Hebrews 11:1, which I'm ministering on tonight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. I said, "Lord Jesus Christ, I make this covenant with you. If I'm going to preach this gospel, I've got to believe it." Psalm 103, verse 3 says, "I will forgive you of your iniquities and heal all your diseases." So doctors came in, and the Holy Spirit visited me that night, brothers and sisters, and came upon me. Such a powerful way I woke up. And I thought the doctors were working on me, but there was nobody in the room. And I turned over and went to sleep, and the next morning called in the doctors, and I said, "Look, I'm leaving. I don't want any more medication. And I'm not telling anybody to go off medication. Please understand this. I'm sharing with you what I did." And the professor got very angry with me. And he said, "Mr. Bachen, he was testing the Lord, you see." He says, I said to him, "I've gone to another doctor. This man thought I went to somebody in Munich or Cologne." I said, "No, I went to Jesus." And he laughed at me. I said, "Oh, all right." He says, "Well, can we do one thing?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Can we have one more blood test? Because melanoma swims in your blood. And we had the blood test, and I went to sleep that night. Next morning, bags are packed. He walks in with the entourage. He said to the top physician, professor said, where's these results? Gave him the results. And his eyes went the size of saucers, and he went as white as a sheet. Because in the report, my blood was cancer-free.
That is just so amazing. And you just felt like completely at peace during this entire time. Well, during once you knew.
I slept like a baby for 7 weeks. And when I was healed, I said to him, I said, now, he says, well, here, Bachan. He says, you better go home. I said, I know, my bags are packed. And I signed myself out, went home. Joanne brought me back to a little town called Kronach. It's a 1,000-year-old stadt where Martin Luther used to come and preach. And I wrote out my resignation form, and the club were horrified. But you see, Jesus never breaks covenants. We're the ones that break the covenant. And I said, Lord, if you heal me, I promise you, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And we flew home in the year 2000, and I've been in full-time ministry since then.
That is quite a testimony. That is amazing. But then, of course, the testimony goes on, because you now have set up the Messiah's ministries to reach the people of Africa.
Yes.
And I know that you're kind of operating out of London at the moment, but yes. Could you tell people a bit more about Messiah Ministries and what it does?
Rob, the Lord gave us Mark chapter 16 from verse 15 to 18, and that is, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And my brother Angus and I worked together for 5 years, and then our visions didn't change. Angus went on to do what Angus does, and the Lord called me to go and look for the lost coin and the lost sheep. And he called me to go to places where a lot of people don't like to go for a number of reasons. And please, I'm saying this in total humility and humbleness. It's dangerous. It's not easy to get into. I nearly died of malaria last year. I've had, I don't know, umpteen bouts of malaria, umpteen. But what happened to me last year in northwestern Kenya, at the Ugandan border by Lake Victoria, they gave me the wrong medication, the antiviral for the virus that goes into your liver. And by the grace of God, he healed me. And we preach under trees. We preach, obviously, in stadiums. We've been in rugby stadiums and cricket stadiums and things. But my heart is to go and find some people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ and to bring them into the body. We work with pastors. We work with bishops that we trust and believe, and the converts then go into the churches. We have a lot of churches in northwestern Kenya and southern Uganda, Zimbabwe, Zambia. I was in Zambia this year. I preached 20 times in 10 days. I was with Dr. David Moffat, the last surviving member of the Moffat Livingston family in Makushi. What a glorious time we had there, Rob, preaching the gospel. So that is what we do. The Lord tells us clearly that the harvest is white, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers. And that's what we do. I'm not against conventions. I'm not against big meetings. But you know, that famous mighty man of God, C.T. Studd, made a comment once. He said, nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice till everybody's heard it once. And that's what we do. We take the word of God. The first thing that goes on our trucks and Land Rovers and Land Cruisers is the word of God, Bibles. Then we go out and we take our own food, our own water, because there's sometimes no water where we are. There's no food to eat because we can't eat with the people. They're so poverty-stricken. And then we preach the word of God, Rob. That's what the Messiah Ministries does.
Excellent. And how do you see the view for the future? How are you envisioning the future?
Rob, you know, as my brother Robert said, I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. You've got to look at what the world looks like, what's happening in the world, the problems, the challenges that we're having. And I just believe that the Lord is raising young men and women to go out. Because You know, we're getting on in age, and yes, I keep on and I keep on keeping on. That's one of our lovely sayings that we love. I think Oswald Chambers used to quote that a lot as well. But we've got to raise up the next generation to take over the baton. But it's difficult because we've often had to fly people home because they can't do it. You know, we sleep in tents. We sleep in little huts which the African folk give us to sleep in. We eat their food sometimes, which, oh, Lord Jesus, I have to pray over it to get it down me. But the way forward is to get as many people's names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing greater, Rob, and you know this, and listeners, hear me, than somebody coming to Jesus and giving his life to the Lord. You cannot give a man or a woman a greater gift than salvation because he has eternity with Jesus Christ and his family. I shared last night, if I can just share this with you.
By all means.
There's two things I can't wait for, brothers and sisters. And one is to stand...
Boy,
named Alistair Buchan, waiting for his daddy to come home. But I want to get as many people in there with their families, getting their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, getting the souls in, and getting them into heaven, because the devil is rampant and he's busy and he's causing havoc because he knows his time is short. So I pray, Rob, I pray for radio stations like yourself, Christian people that are stand up and not ashamed of the gospel. People that will preach the undiluted word of God. I've got into so much trouble sometimes by preaching the word of God. I can't cut corners. I say to them, I didn't write this book. I preach it. And I believe it. And the truth sets the captives free. People don't like the ears tickled anymore. That's what I love about the ministry in Africa. It's alive. The people are hungry. They come for... I had a ministry once, I was just new in Bush ministry, and I was out there and I finished in half an hour. And the pastor turned to me and he said, Pastor Buchan, are you finished? I said, yeah, I told you I was finished. He said, you can't be. And those days, Rob, I still had a bit of red hair, you know. And I said to him, hey, listen, I'm finished. He said, sir, people have walked 2 days, up to 2 days to hear this word, and you tell me you're finished? Well... Brothers and sisters, my messages are up to 2.5 hours, 2 to 2.5 hours. People hungry for the word. You come into the European communities, you go 1 minute after your 30 minutes, and they're looking at their watches. And that's why, I suppose maybe in a way it's easy to preach in Africa. People are open to the word of God, Rob.
And hungry.
They're hungry for the word of God, and they come to listen, and they come to read. And the greatest thing I can give them is not food or money. Sir, have you got the word of God? And when we take the word in their language, you know, because it's Swahili, it's Ndebele, it's Bashona, it's Zulu. So, and that's what we do, Rob, and I just want to be found busy when the Lord comes.
Yes, well, that would be my prayer too, first and foremost, is having God firmly as the center of what we do. Could you tell us, Fergus, how many... workers you have working for the ministry at the moment?
Well, we're a very small, how can I put this, a depot. Let's use it as a depot. But we've got a very widespread base database. And I've got sheep farmers in the Karoo Desert in South Africa. I've got professional golfers in Johannesburg. I've got professional singers in Australia. And I've got friends in Scotland. I've got friends in England. And I phone them and say, listen, I'm praying about Southern Sudan next year, which I am doing, by the way, listeners. There's 175,000 refugees have been kicked out of Northern Sudan on the border, and all the pastors are saying to me is, come and bring the word, bring them hope. I make phone calls. They pray about it. We get on the aircraft, and we fly in. We meet up. We have a couple of days of good prayer time strategizing, and in we go. It's like a recce. It's like the old army recce groups. We go in, light the fires, and get started. And we're going for 2-3 weeks at a time, Rob, and then come out. And everybody flies home to their own homes. Stay in touch with emails. People contact me, and they say, I'm known in South Africa as Uncle Fergus Buchan. Where are you going next, Uncle Fergus? I'm free for 2 weeks. Can I come with you? Yes, you can. And they come in, and they're either prayer warriors, or I let them preach. They hands on the sick, because in Mark chapter 15, 16, verse 18, it says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. We go somewhere, there's no medication, Rob. Nothing. We have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So that's how we operate, and that's how we keep it. And we just move out, and we meet up and team up, and then go in and do the ministry together.
Brilliant. So what about extra workers? Would you need to have extra workers, and how would you go about to, how can people get involved?
Well, Rob, I can never get too many workers. I really do mean that, especially for our ministry, because it's not for everybody. As you know, you do know very much in missions, being a missionary, there's senders and there's goers, and both are equally important, okay? This is a matter of interest, and I'm not punting or anything like that. The majority of my finance comes, because it costs money to preach the gospel, we know that, right? Comes from businessmen. They say to me, Fergus, we can't do what you do, but we can make it possible for you to do that. So that's the first step. Second step, if I could just give you my email address.
By all means, I was going to ask you for that one anyway, sir.
And a contact number. And if any young person, I'm not young, Robert's not young. Anybody says, hey, listen, I'd like to put on my bush hat like Fergus Buchan and his bush shoes and go and spend 2 weeks in Africa. They're welcome to come. And you can drop me a mail. And the mail, my email address is Buchan, it's Buchan, @gmail.com.
It's
quite a simple address, Buchan.mmi@gmail.com. MMI stands for Messiah Ministries International.
Ah, okay.
And a contact number for me in London is 0740-723-0808.
That's
0740.
Yes.
723-0808.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. That's really good. I'm sure that we'll make that available to our listeners as well, so that they can get in.
Wonderful, Rob.
Just to finish off, prayer, I can see, is so much a part of any missionaries' work, and what can we get people praying for you right now, or indeed into the future? Do you have a prayer request page or a prayer diary so that people can pray?
Rob, we pray for, we ask people to pray for our teams for protection. My wife and I last year, in the northeastern part of Kenya, were attacked by a mob of people after preaching the word. I don't know, the devil got into them. And I was beaten up, but thank the Lord, nobody touched my dear wife, Joanne. But you know, we need doors to open. We need people to come along and pray, as my brother sitting right next to me here, is for revival. For people to stand up for Jesus and be unashamed, Rob, and for the infilling of the Holy Spirit for us as we go forth, and we don't get tired, we don't get disgruntled, and if we do get sick with malaria, or I got bitten by tick, I got tick bite fever, my wife got bitten by a spider, and it's just the devil coming against us. And, you know, teamwork makes a dream work. So I always say, nothing, and if people can just, if nothing, it would be amazing, because sometimes, Rob, when I once was 3 months alone, and I forget where I was now, I think in the Sudanese border. For 3 months, I was the only white man amongst my African brothers. And you know, you get lonely out there, man. But the Lord sustains us through prayer. So if people could hold us up in prayer for more faith, endurance, and to finish the race, Rob.
Yes.
That would be just phenomenal and awesome. And anybody who wants to contact me, phone me or email me, I promise you I'll come back to you. It might take a bit of time. I'm not too proficient in that. My wife always keeps me away from all the computers and all that sort of stuff. But we will get back to you and give you an answer.
Excellent. Well, would you mind if I prayed for you just now, and indeed also pray for Robert Todd as well?
I would love it. Love it.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, you have built this station on prayer, and you have built up Fergus Buchan's ministry, and indeed the ministry of Blackety Side Farm, on prayer. And we're asking you right now, for all of us, and particularly for these two special brothers who are standing firm for you, that you will give to them the wisdom, favour, that you'll make the doors open, that you'll give them the protection that they need, especially for Fergus and his wife and his workers. We come against any plans, any strategy of the devil, but your word says you have given us power over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
So, Lord, we stand on that. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you enable us to be able to do that.
Thank you, Father.
We give you thanks and we ask you, Lord, that people will continually uphold these two men in prayer, particularly in Africa. And Lord God, that you'll bring more workers in.
Amen.
And make them more effective.
Amen.
In their work, so that many more people in Africa would be reached as a result of Messiah Ministries. And many more people in Fife would be reached as a result of the gospel meetings and the witness at Blackety Side Farm.
Thank you, Lord.
So we give you thanks for these two men and pray a blessing upon them, a rich blessing and a rich anointing. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We receive it.
Thank you, Lord.
In your name. In your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on, and we're looking forward to hearing more from yourselves in the future. Please keep in contact with ourselves here at Gospel for Grampian, and we're, if you're happy, we'll be finishing off with Psalm 1 with Ian White, who is certainly known to Gospel for Grampian, and we trust that you will enjoy this, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you, Rob. God
bless you. Thank you very much, Rob.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.